Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1948-1949 season. Tonight's episode has Jack singing a song with the sportsman, which is always fun. And I think he might even play the violin with him, which I totally enjoy. Has get a chance to hear Phil Harris show his knowledge of how many holes there are in the game of golf. And we also get a chance to hear some foreshadowing of television and the fact that Jack probably be into that here very soon. Anyway, enjoy tonight's show, and we'll see you next time. We'll talk about the poll, I don't know, later this week. I'll figure out some time to do it. Anyway, enjoy.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Feeling low,
feeling tense.
These 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Yes, to feel your level best. Smoke a lucky, because Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best. That's what fine tobacco can do for you. And remember, LSMFT, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So the next time you buy cigarettes, ask for the cigarette of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. For remember, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best. Yes, smoke a Lucky to feel your level best.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, television is not only here, it's here to stay. And like other stars in radio, Jack Benny is preparing for the future. So now we take you out to Beverly Hills. At the moment, Jack is sleeping while Rochester is going about his morning chores.
Well, first I better clean up the living room. What a mess. Television sure has Mr. Benny worried. Every night he rehearses a different act. But he's certainly serious about it. Last night he even had a dancing teacher here. Imagine him trying to do that kind of a dance. Oh, well, I might as well pick up his clothes and let the air out of the balloons. Isn't that cute? He even put an ironing board up on 2 chairs and used it for a runway. Let's see, where'll I put these balloons? Oh, hello, Polly.
A pretty girl is like a melody.
Oh, were you here last night when Mr. Benny was taking his dancing lesson? He'll be happy to hear that. Now, Polly, I'll get you some breakfast as soon as I straighten up the... Coming! Oh, good morning, Mr. Mailman.
Good morning, Rochester. Well, there was too much mail to put in the box, so I thought I'd bring it in. Here are the letters.
Thank you.
And here are Mr. Benny's magazines. Body Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Women's Home Companion.
Uh-huh.
True Story.
Uh-huh.
Lonely Hearts.
Uh-huh.
And this book, The Manly Art of Self-Defense.
Say, I didn't know...
Oh, pardon me, that goes to Mike Romanoff. Well, I must be getting along.
Is that all the mail you have for Mr. Benny?
No, I'm still carrying that letter with postage due on it. But I guess there's no use going through that again.
No, I guess not. How long ago was that letter mailed?
I don't know. It was handed down to me by my father. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, I think I'll take this mail to Mr. Benny's room. It's time he got up anyway. Mr. Benny, it's 11 o'clock. Mr. Benny, wake up. Mr. Benny. Gypsy Rose.
I pretty girl.
Boss, it's only me.
Oh, good morning, Rochester. What time is it?
It's 11 o'clock. I brought you the mail. Do you want to look at it?
Oh, yes, give it to me.
Aren't you going to put your glasses on?
I can't. I broke them last night when I fell off the runway. I mean, the ironing board.
It's all right, boss, I know.
Well, Rochester, take the ironing board down and hide the balloons. I don't want anyone to know about my dancing. Now, let's see the mail. What's this one? Oh, it's from my violin teacher, Professor LeBlanc. Monsieur Benny, as you know, tomorrow I must give you a violin lesson. I will be there unless I catch pneumonia. Please excuse the writing, as it is dark here in the deep freeze. Open the next envelope, Rochester.
Yes, sir. Oh, here's a letter from Max Factor.
Max Factor? What does he say?
Dear Mr. Benny, this is the third letter we have sent you reminding you of your March payment is past due. Either pay it immediately or we'll snatch it off your head.
Let him snatch it. It's got moth holes all over it. Let's see. What's this? This is from the California Bank. It's another letter about that loan.
What are you going to do, boss?
I'm going to turn them down. Now, let's see. That's funny. Here's one from the barber shop on the corner. Dear Mr. Benny, we are writing to all of our customers who got shaved here last Saturday. Are you missing an ear? P.S. If not called for in 30 days, we will add it to our collection. Is there anything else, Rochester?
Just this circular. You won't be interested in it.
What is it?
Here.
Automobile prices reduced. Buy a new car now and save money. Liberal allowances on trade-ins. You know, Rochester, maybe I ought to try and...
I'll get it.
Say, Rochester, no matter who it is, don't mention anything about the new dance I've been working on.
I won't.
Remember.
Coming!
Hello, Rochester.
Hello, Miss Livingston. Come on in.
Mr. Benny home?
Yeah, he's getting dressed. He'll be down in a minute.
Well, then I'll wait. And don't let me interrupt you, Rochester. Go ahead and finish your ironing.
Ironing?
Yes, you've got the ironing board up, haven't you?
I wasn't using that. You see, Mr. Benny was... Uh-oh.
Mr. Benny was what?
Well, he was getting ready to wallpaper the living room.
Well, back home I used to help my mother paper our house, and Mr. Benny is going at it the wrong way. It seems to me
Well, good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Jack. Rochester told me what you were doing with the ironing board.
Oh, he did, eh? Rochester, I told you not to say anything about what...
But, Jack, you should be glad he told me I can show you a few tricks.
You... What do you know about it?
Well, I used to do it with my mother.
What?
Oh, Mama was wonderful. She used to work with a brush in each hand.
A brush in each hand? Well, didn't your father object?
No, if she didn't do it, he'd have to.
Mary, dollface, what are you talking about?
Wallpapering the house.
Oh, wallpapering. Oh, of course. Good boy, Rochester. I'm going to do that later, Mary, but right now I'm trying to make a big decision.
What big decision?
Well, I just received this circular from an automobile company, and I've been thinking maybe I ought to trade in my car and buy a new one.
Well, it's about time. What are you going to get, a Chandler or an Essex?
Oh, don't be funny. I'm going to get a real... I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Jackson. I'm calling from the country club. I thought maybe you'd come out and play some golf.
Well, I can't today. I'm going out and buy a new car.
Operator, you gave me the wrong number.
She did not. It's me. And I am going to buy a car.
Oh. What kind of a car are you going to get, Jackson?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking of getting a Cadillac.
Operator, why can't I get
You've
the
right
number?
You've got the right number. I told you, it's me.
Oh.
He asked me if I wanted to play golf, and I told you I couldn't.
Well, look, Jackson, I'm running a picture at my house tonight. Would you like to come over and see it?
Gee, I'd love to, but I can't. You see, last night I broke my glasses.
Oh, how'd you break them?
I fell off the runway.
Operator! Operator, I wish you'd give
you
me the right...
You got it! You got it!
Phil, it's me, Gypsy. I mean, Jackson. Phil, I'm sorry. Phil, I'm sorry I can't play golf with you. Why don't you call Remley?
I called Remley. He's right here now.
Oh, Frankie's with you, eh?
Yeah, he's sitting over there at the table drinking a glass of milk.
Operator! Operator! Somebody else is...
Oh, no, no, Jackson. It's me, it's me.
Oh. Well, what's this about Frankie drinking milk?
Doctor's orders. Drinking too much bourbon.
Oh.
That caused a shortage of calcium in his system.
Uh-huh.
So the doctor made him drink milk.
So Frankie could get more calcium?
Yeah, that'll make his teeth stronger.
Well, why does he want to strengthen his teeth?
So he can pull the corks out of the bourbon bottle.
What?
You can't gum them things, you know.
I know, I know. Anyway, I'm proud of Frankie drinking milk. Let me talk to him, will you, Phil?
Okay. Hey, Frankie. Frankie. Frankie! He can't hear a thing since he got a shave last Saturday.
Phil, do you mean that...
So long, Gypsy. We got 8 holes to play.
All right, goodbye, Phil. I generally play 18 holes, but I guess Phil isn't as strong as I am. Mary, Phil wanted me to play golf with him, but I'm going out and look at some of those new cars. You want to go with me?
Oh, sure, Jack, but while you were on the phone, Don Wilson and the sportsman came in. They're waiting for you in the library.
Oh. Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
Hiya, fellas. Well, Don, I know what you're here for, but make it quick, will you? Mary and I have to leave in a few minutes.
Okay. Now, Jack, we've got a wonderful arrangement of Mendelssohn's Spring Song. And as a surprise, we put in a special violin part for you.
Oh, Don, really, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, we can take it out.
Oh, no, no, I've got the violin right here, under my chin. Just give me the music.
Here you are.
Okay, now, all right, now just a second while I tune up here. Just 1 second, Don, I get him. Now, let's see, Mendelssohn's Spring Song. Oh, yes, I start it, don't I?
Yeah, Jack.
All right, here we go, fellas. Mendelssohn's Spring Song.
Oh, yes, they're better.
Oh, yes, you feel your level best. If you are low, if you are tense, then these eight words make common sense. Smoke a lucky.
Curtsing. The boys have gone.
Oh. Well, come on, Mary. Let's go downtown and look for a new car. Rochester, we're ready to go. Rochester, the traffic's pretty heavy. Take it easy, will you?
Jack, what kind of a car are you going to get?
I'm not sure, Mary. You know, all the new models look so nice, and they have so many novel features. Like the Nash, for instance. I mean, the way the seats make up into twin beds. You know, maybe that's what I'll get. What are you laughing at?
You'll have the only car in the country that takes in boarders.
I wasn't thinking of that, Mary. I just thought that maybe...
Say, boss, how long have we been driving?
Exactly 14 minutes. You better start looking for a service station.
Yeah, no time to lose.
Jack, why do you have to hurry for a service station?
Well, you see, Mary, every time the car dries for 15 minutes, the water in the radiator boils over, and then it takes...
That goes all faithful!
Stop the car, Rogers. Well, I guess we'll just have to sit here for a few minutes until it cools off. That's about all.
Say, Emily, isn't that Jack Benny over there?
Where?
Over there in that Stanley steamer.
That isn't a Stanley steamer. It's a Maxwell that blew its top.
Then it is my dream man. Steady, girl, steady.
You really have a crush on him, haven't you?
Yes, and you know, Emily, I've got a confession to make. Last February, I sent Mr. Benny a Valentine card.
Did he get it?
He must have. I put it in my laundry bundle.
Does he do your laundry?
Yes. When I think of him ironing my petticoats with his own little hands... I break out in goose pimples.
How romantic. What did you say on your Valentine card?
It was a beautiful poem. I wrote it myself. It went, "Dear Jack, when I think of you this Valentine's Day, I can throw my vitamin pills away."
Well, I'll bet he didn't answer it.
He did, too. He said, "Your lovely poem made me shake and shiver. And starting May 1st, we pick up and deliver."
Margaret, open your eyes. I think they're going to drive off.
Rochester, the car should be cool enough now. Let's go.
Jack, the street we're coming to is Figueroa. That's Automobile Row.
Yeah. Turn right here, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Gosh, look at all the automobile dealers on this street. Honest John, the Smiling Irishman, Madman Munts, Psychiatric Sam, Wild Man Pritchard. Ah, here's the place we want. Just Plain Bill. Stop in front of this place, Rochester. Now, Rod, you can park down the street a little ways and wait for us. Come on, Mary.
Okay. Gosh, Jack, they certainly have some beautiful cars on display here.
Yes, I hope this doesn't take too long. I wouldn't want Rochester to get a ticket. He can't afford it. And besides, I have to...
Oh, here comes the salesman.
Where? Oh, yes. Oh, mister.
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm thinking of buying a new car.
Oh, good, good. Were you thinking of any particular type?
Well...
Would you like a hydromatic?
A hydromatic?
Yes, that car comes without a clutch.
Look, brother, when I pay for a new car, I want a clutch and everything. Say, this car here looks pretty good.
Yes, Jack, it's really a sporty-looking number.
Get inside and see how roomy it is.
Okay. It sure is comfortable, and... Say, what are these buttons?
Oh, yes, those are for the windows. I'll show you how they work.
Gee.
Well, didn't you know the new cars had automatic window lifts?
He didn't even know they had windows.
Mary, please. What other new features do they have?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. This is the only car in the market that comes equipped with a Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbovasculator, which is synchromeshed with a multi-coil hydrotension duo-vacuum dynamometer.
Gosh! What does that do for the car?
It empties the ashtray.
Well, that's quite a feature. Mary, do you think I ought to get this car?
Well, certainly. I wouldn't think of having a car that's not equipped with a Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbovascular, which is synchromeshed with a multi-coil hydrotension duo vacuum dynamometer. Dynamometer. What?
Mary, you've mispronounced the word with. Gee, the more I see of this car, the more I like it. But tell me, Mr.
Call me Plain Bill.
Well, look, Plain Bill. What are all these other buttons for?
Well, they're for the heater, the radio, the lights, and the top.
Uh-huh. But what's this red button for?
Oh, that red button is for emergencies.
Emergencies?
Yes, like if you stall the car on the railroad tracks and the train is coming at 100 miles an hour, you press the red button.
And that gets the car off the tracks?
No, it makes a reservation for you at Forest Lawn.
Convertibles I've ever seen. Why don't you take it?
I think I will, Mary. Tell me, Plain Bill, what's the price of this car?
$4,200.
Say, mister, do the windshield wipers on this car squirt water when you press the button?
Yes.
Well, squirt some on him. He fainted.
I didn't faint, Mary. Just that $4,200 is a lot of money.
But don't forget, we do make liberal allowances on trade-ins.
Well, my car's right outside. Suppose you come along with us and appraise it.
Yes, well, I'd be very glad to.
Right this way.
Now, which one of these cars is yours?
Oh, it's parked down the street a little ways. There it is right there.
You mean that blue Kaiser?
No, it's behind the Kaiser.
Oh, the gray DeSoto.
No, my car's between the Kaiser and the DeSoto. Here it is. Well, I'll admit it doesn't look like much right now, but a little paint and polish and she'll be as good as new.
What did you get, boss, a convertible or a sedan?
Nothing yet. This gentleman is going to appraise ours.
Tell me, has this car been in an accident?
No.
Well, then how come it bulges so much in the rear?
Middle-age spread.
Don't be silly. That's the way this car was built. And it has a lot of advantages that the new cars haven't got.
Yeah, if you like tea, it boils water every 15 minutes.
Oh, stop. This man is a good judge of cars. Now, Plain Bill, get in and I'll show you how it runs. Come on, Mary. Start the car, Rochester.
Yes.
Well,
The motor needs a little... Plain Bill, where are you going?
To get a whip and a chair. This thing is dangerous.
No, it'll be all right. Try it again, Rochester. See, I told you it'd be okay.
Do you want me to drive around the block, boss?
Just a second. If I am going to appraise this car, I had better drive.
No, I'll drive. You shovel the coal.
You better let him drive, Bill. He's more used to it.
Well, it's irregular, but okay.
See, I told you, it rides very smoothly, doesn't it?
Not bad.
Now, how much of a trade-in do you think you can give me on it?
Well, now, let me see. There's a little rubber on the tires. The body needs a paint job. The upholstery isn't too bad. The motor runs. Look, would the deal include the car's radio?
Yes, yes. Now, how much will you allow me on the car, including the radio?
$3.
$3?
You better grab it fast, Jack. The ride's made him dizzy.
I will not. I wouldn't think of trading in this car for $3. It's perfect mechanically. They don't make cars like this today. Everything built to last for years and gives you excellent service. And all the way...
Plain Bill.
Yes?
Lemon or cream?
Lemon and mine, Mary. Mary! Now, Bill, all kidding aside, how much will you allow me on my car?
$3.
But this car...
There is no use arguing. This thing is without a doubt the oldest, worst, most beat-up piece of junk I have ever seen.
What? That settles it. Rochester, stop the car. Plain Bill, I'll thank you to get out. Rochester, open the door.
That won't be necessary. It fell off.
Well, goodbye to you, sir.
Goodbye.
Rochester, drive on.
Yes, sir.
This car's good enough. I can keep it for quite a while yet.
You know, boss, you're not going to get a new car. Why don't you have this one fixed up? Put some of those modern things on it.
Like what?
Like the Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbo Vasculator, which is synchromeshed with the multicoil hydrotension dual vacuum dynamometer.
No, then I'd have to go out and buy an ashtray. Step on it, Rochester. I want to go home.
Jack, we'll be back in just a moment, but first...
Feeling low.
Feeling tense.
These 8 words are common sense.
Smoke-a-lucky.
To be your level best.
Smoke-a-lucky.
To be your level best.
Yes, Lucky's Fine Tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense. Put you on the right level to feel and do your level best. It's important to know that fine tobacco can do this for you. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. It's not surprising that more independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next 2 leading brands combined. So when you choose your cigarette, remember, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense. Put you on the right level, the lucky level, where you feel your best and do your best. Yes, the next time you buy cigarettes, ask for a carton of Lucky Strike.
Smoke a Lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a Lucky
to be your level best.
Off at any other car dealers?
No, Mary. I've made up my mind. I'm going home. This car will just have to do until I get it.
Jack, what happened? Your hair is gone.
It's my fault, Miss Livingston. I never should have driven by Max Factor's.
All right. Let him keep it.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day in a Day and the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday. Time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. A few years ago, Alice gave up pictures so she could devote her time to her husband and children. However, 20th Century Fox is anxious to have her make another movie. And as we look in, two of the executives at the studio are discussing ways and means of getting Alice to return to the fold.
Spiros, we've been sending Miss Faye scripts. She likes them, but she just won't do a picture. Now, why?
It's not her fault, Daryl. It's that husband of hers. You know, that guy she uses as a stooge on a radio program. What's his name again?
Phil Harris.
That's the schnook. He doesn't want her to make another picture. He's probably jealous because he's never been in pictures.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got an idea.
Huh?
I hear he's a ham. Maybe he'd let Alice make a picture if we gave him a part in it.
Daryl, please. You know I've got a weak stomach. The public sat through triple features, bank night, kino, and free dishes. But this they won't take without a fight.
If it'll get Miss Faye back in pictures, it's worth it. Let's sign him up.
I'm against it.
Well, look, there's a small part for Harris in the script we sent Miss Faye yesterday.
How small?
As the picture opens, he says two words, "Goodbye, Myrtle," then he drops dead. That's all he says.
Does he have to say anything? Can't he just wave goodbye?
I'll try anything to get Alice back in pictures. I'm going up to my office to call Harris and tell him to come down for a test this afternoon.
Phil, I just got through reading the script the studio sent me, and it's a very good part for me. And they offered me a lot of money.
I don't care about the money. I don't want you to make another picture, and that's final. When you're married, you should devote your time to your family. Now, why do you think I never made a picture?
Because nobody ever asked you.
I was wondering how long it would take little Beau to peep. Willie, just keep on with your crocheting, will you? If you don't, you'll never finish that sachet bag by Christmas.
Willie, I'm glad Phil feels the way he does. It's nice to know he thinks more of the children and me than he does of money. I think he's wonderful.
Oh, you're just saying that because you're stuck with him.
That's beside the point. He really is wonderful because he's a man of principle. He's independent and he thinks of nothing but his family.
Yes. I'm as fine and pure and dependable as science can make me.
Uh,
Alice, will you do me a favor? Promise me you won't make another picture.
All right, all right. I promise you I won't make another picture unless you ask me to.
Well, don't worry. I'll never ask you to. I'll get it. The moon would have to turn green before I'd ask you to make another movie. And I got a good mind to call that studio and tell them to stop sending Alice scripts. Hello. Yeah, this is Phil Harris. Oh, 20th Century Fox, huh? I just about to call you guys. Look, Bob, I want you to stop sending scripts to Alice. I don't care who you want to put in a picture. I'm not... Who? Little old mass of ringlets, me? Oh, Daryl, this is so sudden. Well, I hadn't planned on making a picture, but I guess it is my patriotic duty. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you need someone who can bring that Academy Award back to this country. Mr. Zanuck, did you swallow something? Huh? Well, you sound like you're choking. What? No. Oh, I don't mind if Alice is in the picture, too. That kid's got talent. Okay, I'll see you at the studio at 3 o'clock. Goodbye, and thanks very much, Mr. Zanuck. Oh, boy, at last they found me. At last, that old silver screen beckons. Wait till I tell Alice that they found... Oh, no. I just told her I never wanted to make another...
Phil, who called?
Called? Oh, it was some guy. He said I just won Lake Michigan in a Turkish towel. Pay no attention to it. It didn't mean...
Oh, Phil, stop it. Who called?
You know something, honey? You know, I've been thinking... You know, it's selfish of me to tell you that you can't make a picture when I know that you're just dying to make one, aren't you?
No.
Well, let me put it this way. Now, look, suppose that
Phil,
you...
Phil, answer my question. Who was that the cone fall was from?
You better get your teeth fixed before you go back to school. You ever walk in there with that revolving bridge, huh? Take it once more, but let me stand back. Well, go ahead, I'm out of range now.
Phil! Who called you on the telephone?
Who called me on the telephone? Now, let's go back up to the top of the page. I ain't... Now, we'll start from the top. Oh, kid, you got to get some sleep, you hear? You've been hanging around with your brother. Get away from her, will you? Give the kid a chance. You've been hanging around with Willie, too.
Phil, who called you on the telephone?
Nobody called me on the telephone. What are you trying to... All right. If you must know, it was 20th century. Daryl Zanuck wants me to make a picture, and he'd like to have you in it, too, Alice.
Oh, so that's it. They offered you a part, providing you could get Alice to make the picture.
That ain't so. I insisted on Alice. They wanted me to play the romantic lead opposite Betty Grable or Linda Darnell. But I wouldn't think of making love to anybody but my own wife. It wouldn't be any fun.
Oh, Oywin. Phil, what picture did they want you for?
Well, they want me to play the lead in the story that they sent you.
The lead? Well, they told me Tyrone Powell was going to play the lead.
Well, they changed their minds. Tyrone's too old for the part.
Phil, did they tell you you were going to play the lead?
Oh, honey, do I have to be told the obvious? It's got to be the starring role. Look, Alice, they want me at the studio at 3 o'clock for a screen test. Now, I'm going upstairs and get dressed. You better get ready, too.
Well, Phil, I don't think they... Oh, I wish Phil wouldn't jump to conclusions like that. The studio told me Tyrone Powell was going to play the lead. They probably want Phil for a very small part.
Oh, dear, I can just see Philip on the screen.
Well, I'm not going to let them do a thing like that to Phil. I'll see who it is. I've got to stop him from going out to the studio and making a fool of himself.
Hi, Curly. Curly, you look different this morning.
Maybe it's because I'm Alice.
Oh, yeah.
What's the matter with you, Frankie?
I can't see too well this morning. I was up all night working on a scientific problem. Made 52 experiments.
Were you successful?
Oh, yeah. I got a mark now, so you can't tell him from a good deck. Where's Curly?
Oh, he's upstairs. And, Frankie, guess what?
What?
20th Century Fox offered Phil a part in one of their pictures.
Ooh, what a dirty trick to play on their stockholders.
You know, Phil thinks it's a big part, but I know it's just a small bit. And when he finds out, it's going to hurt him. Frankie, you've just got to keep him from going to the studio. Tell him he's not the type for pictures.
But maybe he is. I couldn't tell an untruth like that.
Please, Frankie. Just tell him that he's too old for pictures. He's not good-looking enough, and he has no talent or personality.
Oh, well, okay, as long as I don't have to lie. What?
Frankie, tell him how tough the work is. Point out how hard I had to work. Exaggerate a little.
Alice, did you see my shaving cream?
Hello, Frankie.
Hi, Curly.
Hey, Remley. I got news for you. It's going to make you very proud of me. Just got a call from 20th Century Fox. They want me to come out and make a screen test.
It's a matter of flies getting into the studio?
Still cute, aren't you? Still the one. Just joke after joke. Just come right on. Oh, you're a bear, Clyde. I got news for you. They want me to star in a picture.
Oh. Well, let me be the first to offer my condolences.
What do you mean, condolences?
Pictures are a tough grind. You have to be at the studio at 6 o'clock in the morning. Stand under those hot lights all day doing the same scene over and over again. The pressure's terrific, and it makes a physical wreck of you.
Not only that, it'll make you old before your time.
Sure, look what it did to Alice.
Yeah, but that don't mean it'll happen to me. Besides, Alice don't look too old.
Curly, have you looked at her under a strong light?
Frankie!
You told me to exaggerate.
Oh, what's the matter with you two guys? Don't you people want me to make a picture? Are you jealous because I've been offered a starring role?
Oh, Phil, you might be building yourself up to an awful letdown. They seldom take a newcomer and put him in a starring role.
They do when they get a chance at somebody unusual.
Oh, but Phil, that only happens once in a lifetime.
And how often do you think something like me happens?
You know, Alice, we're lucky to be living in such a wonderful age. Just think, we've seen the invention of the airplane, the automobile, indoor plumbing, and Phil Harris.
Go ahead and laugh. But let me tell you something, friends. This little curly head of mine will be the cutest thing to hit picture since Shirley Temple.
Isn't this disgusting?
Hey, Alice. Hey, honey. Which profile do you like better, my left or my right side? I'll just tilt my head to one side there. Like, what do you think?
Hello, everybody. Mr. Harris, what are you holding your head like that for?
He's got a kink.
Well, he finally gave himself a pain in the neck.
Hey, show a little respect, grocery boy. You are now gazing upon the new idol of the silver screen. How would you like to see me in a movie? What's that?
You just heard a testimonial from your fan club.
Well, you're all against me, huh? Well, scoff if you will, but you'll all change your minds when I become a great dramatic actor.
Dramatic actor?
Yes, from now on, I'm not going to be a comedian.
From now on, he says. Where are you going to learn to be a dramatic actor?
I don't have to learn. That stuff comes natural to me. I've got drama in my blood.
Yeah? Bleed me a short sad sack. Well, don't stand there, Mac. Open a vein and get started.
Oh, Phil, you're not serious about doing dramatic.
You're darn right I am, and nobody's going to talk me out of it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going upstairs and finish dressing so we can get out to that studio.
Oh, Alice, if he tries to do dramatics, they'll laugh him off the screen.
I know. There must be some way we can... Say, wait, I've got it.
Hmm?
I know everybody at Fox. I'll call them and tell them to give Phil the works when we get there for the screen test.
You're going to the studio too, Miss Faye? You going to make another picture?
Well, I'm not sure, Julius.
Oh, I hope you do, Miss Faye. You were great in pictures. I still remember seeing you and Lillian Russell. I'd love to hear you sing that song you did in that picture. You know, the one that goes... Hi, Rosie, here are my posy. Rosie, my heart's desire.
When you give me all your kisses, then I know what love and bliss is.
Come out into the moonlight.
All right, all right. Then let me sing it, huh?
All right, go ahead and send me, soulmate.
Rosie, you are my posy. You are my heart's bouquet. Come out here in the moonlight. There are some love words I wanna say. Your honey child is waiting. Good old ruby lips to greet. Now don't be so aggravating, my blushing Rosie, sweet Rosie mine.
Please tell us, Rosie, sweet Rosie.
Gee, oh gosh, but you're so pretty, you're so smart, and you're so witty.
Are we your heart's bouquet?
You have simply got me crazy picking petals off a daisy.
Come out in the moonlight, where we can sit and talk all about you.
Can't you see that I adore you, that my heart is yearning for you? Your honey child is waiting. Your ruby lips to kiss.
We've discovered just what bliss is from your ever-loving kisses.
Oh, don't be so aggravating,
my blushing rosy, sweet rosy mine.
You like that, Julius?
Oh, keep Daddy lit in the window, Mother. I'm flying home tonight. That was wonderful, Miss Faye.
Hey, Alice, you better get your coat on. I'll be ready to leave in a minute.
All right. And Frankie.
What?
I want you to come to the studio with us. You can help with my little scheme.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss this for anything.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I'd better call the studio and arrange things my way.
Hey, they got a nice studio here, Alice.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the best. Phil, are you sure you want to go through with this? Maybe you won't photograph well.
I won't Oh, Fanny, you fool, you. Hey, Frankie, enlighten this poor female. You've seen pictures of me. How's my face photographed?
Like a pound of raw hamburger. Kind of been sitting in the showcase for a few days.
All right, Remley. All right, that's enough. I heard you. You know, it's important that I get this job, so don't make any cracks when we get on the set.
All right.
Well, here we are. This is the stage where we're supposed to meet Zanuck. Everybody on your toes. Let's go in.
Well, it looks like they're all ready for the...
Alice, darling!
Daryl, darling, and Spiros, darling!
It's good to have you back at the studio, darling.
Hey, Remley, what's with that darling routine?
Everybody in pictures talks like that to each other. You'll have to do it, too.
Oh, Daryl and Spiros, I want you to meet my husband, Phil Harris.
Hello.
How do you do?
I'm charmed to meet you, darlings.
And I'm Frankie Remley, the darlingest little guitar player you ever saw. How do you do?
Now, shall we talk about my part?
Alice, it's good to have you back on the lot. You know, you're one of the biggest stars we ever had.
Oh, thank you.
About my part?
Alice, you know, it was very nice of you to consent to make another picture for us.
About my part?
You look beautiful in Technicolor. You'll be wearing a period costume with a low-cut neckline.
In that case, I'll have to shave the hair off my chest. Kind of a part of my plan.
I forgot you were here. Glad to have you with us, Harris. I hope you like our studio.
Oh, it's wonderful, Mr. Zanuck. It's one of the nicest studios I've ever been in. Ain't it, Frankie?
I seem better. It's an adequate little outfit.
Frankie.
Little, this is one of the biggest studios in Hollywood. We make some of the finest motion pictures that appear on the screen. And we have some of the greatest stars.
Yeah, who have you got?
Betty Grable, Tyrone Power, Linda Darnell, Dan Daly, Gene Craig.
Never mind the bit players. Name some stars. Have you got stars like Thomas Mann, Clara Bow, Milton Sills, William S. Hart, Mae Murray, and J. Warren Kerrigan? Those are the stars I always see.
Mr. Remley, when was the last time you went to a movie theater?
I don't have to go to a movie theater. I got a television set.
Remley, will you keep quiet? Don't insult these people. I'm anxious to get this job.
All right.
Mr. Zanuck, we're all ready for my screen test.
Yes. We might as well get this over with. Joe, train your camera on Harris and see how he looks through the lens.
Okay, Mr. Zanuck.
Well?
Oh, Mr. Zanuck, you must be kidding. You don't want me to put film in the camera for this.
What does he mean?
Nothing. Joe, put a piece of gauze over the lens and then look at him.
Okay.
Hey, Alice. What's the gauze for? How'd he get hurt?
No, honey. Sometimes when your features are too harsh, it softens them for the camera. It makes you look better.
How does he look now?
Give me another piece of gauze. You better make that two pieces. Anybody got a burlap sack?
Wise guy. If it would make you happy, I could do this scene in the dark. You think that I'd turn them lights off.
All right. Now, let's get started. Oh, wait. We'll need another man in this scene.
Oh, Frankie can play it.
Oh, very well. Here are your scripts. Now, in this scene, Alice, you're in Mr. Remley's apartment.
Uh-huh.
He holds you in his arms, kisses you, and tells you he loves you.
Do I have to stick to the script, or can I ad-lib a little? Just stick to the script, Remley, that's all. Mr. Zanuck, this is my screen test. What do I do?
You play the part of Miss Faye's husband. It's a big scene for you. You enter. You see your wife in the arms of this man. And you go berserk, pouring out all the pent-up emotion of jealousy, hatred, and vengeance that's been in your tortured heart for years.
I'm a little peeved at him, huh?
Yeah. Now, Alice, you get in Remley's arms. All you say is, I love you, darling. There's a knock at the door. Remley says, come in. Harris enters and goes into his big speech. All right, quiet on the set, everybody. Quiet. Roll them.
I love you, darling.
Oh, it's wonderful to hold you in my arms like this, Myrtle.
I feel the same way, Clyde.
Hold me a little closer, Mert. And now, my sweet, I'm going to kiss you. Remley, I'm knocking. Why don't you tell me to come in there?
What, spoil a good thing? You kidding?
Oh, Myrtle, you're beautiful.
Well, if she's so beautiful, do you mind if I come in and take a fast look? Fellas, let's
stick to
the script.
Well, I can't help it. I keep knocking the guy.
Remley, when he knocks, tell him to come in.
All right. What knocking you have to do?
I'll let you in.
Give me a stand-in to knock.
Harris, remember, as soon as the door opens, you go into your speech. You say, aha, at last I've caught you. Then you deliver your long tirade. I'll take it again, Alice. Roll him.
I love you, darling.
Come in.
Ah.
Cut.
Ah.
Huh?
Harris, that was great. I love the way you underplayed that scene.
I might just as, well played it underwater. How about the long speech,
Daryl? Oh, that comes next. That comes next. You see, there's been a terrific fight between you and Remley, and in the heat of the argument, he shot you 6 times through the heart. And as you lie on the floor dying, you beg them for water. They give it to you, then you make your big speech.
Oh, fine, fine. With 6 bullet holes in my heart, I'm in great shape to make a big speech.
Well, you speak softly. See, that makes it very dramatic. Now lie down. All right, now roll them.
Clyde, you've shot my husband.
Water.
But he had it coming to him. For years he's been a beast. He beat me and tortured me, and I'm glad you did it. Glad, glad, glad.
Water.
But now you're rid of him, darling. You're free, free, free.
Water, water, water.
We'd better get out of here. I'll pack my bags and we'll go to my mother's place in Milwaukee.
Beer.
Clyde, he isn't dead yet. I just heard him talk.
Water.
Water, Clyde. That's the least we can do for
him. All right, here.
Myrtle,
I don't think we should have given him that water.
Why not?
The way it's running out of those bullet holes, he looks like a sprinkling can.
Well, what do we do with him?
Let's hang him over the bathtub and I'll take a shower before we leave.
Well, let's go. I can't stand the sight of his ugly face.
Wait, he's trying to say something.
Yes?
Let's listen.
Goodbye, Myrtle. I...
Cut! That's all!
What do you mean, that's all? All I said was goodbye, Myrtle.
Oh, that was wonderful, Alice. And you were great, Remley. That scene had everything in it.
Except me. It's a fine way to treat a star. Well, I don't have to take this, Mr. Zanuck, and I'm not going to make the picture for you, and I ain't going to let Alice make it either. Now, come on, Alice. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wait a minute, Harris. You can't take Alice.
I can't, huh?
Oh, Phil. I hope you're not disappointed that you didn't get this part.
Why should I be? It's their loss.
Yeah, you don't have to work for Fox.
Of course I don't have to work for Fox. The nerve of them giving me a small part like that. I won't let them bury my talent here.
You're right, Curly. Come on, we'll find someplace else to bury it.
And now here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
Last week, when a customer of mine was telling me about her new Easter bonnet, I asked her, how would you like to have more than 200 hats?
Mister, I'd love it. But why do you ask that?
You got me to thinking of a Rexall scientist who has more than 200 different kinds of caps.
Is he crazy?
No, he's a pretty smart fellow. You see, he's interested in the caps for Rexall's bottled drug products. Now, to you, those little bottle caps may all look pretty much alike, but believe me, there's a big difference. Even the liner inside the caps is important. Some are especially made to prevent leakage. Others designed to keep aromas from escaping. Still others must be non-corrosive.
Well, I never thought of that before.
And that isn't all. The materials that do those jobs all right may still be unsuitable because they cause a chemical change in the product. So this Rexall scientist must test literally hundreds of materials and combinations of materials to make sure that each Rexall bottled drug product gets the cap and the liner that suits it best.
And that's why he has more than 200 of them.
Yes, ma'am, that's why. It's another example of the many different ways Rexall's men of science make sure that the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company are completely dependable. And when we independent Rexall druggists put the orange and blue sign on our window, we're making sure you know that ours are the only stores where you can get these products. We want the whole wide world to know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Folks, this is National Pharmacy Week. 7 days when we can remember the man that you and your doctor trust all the year through, your family druggist. Quietly but faithfully, these skilled professional men...
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from 1938-1939 season. This episode had me laughing before I ever heard it, just because of the title of the episode. It's titled Guess Binny Barnes and Mark Sandrich. So I thought to myself, I was like, wow, finally they actually named the episode after the guest stars. I mean, I always thought, why don't they have the episode that's called The Brown Derby called Jimmy Stewart and the Brown Derby, or guest star Jimmy Stewart goes to the Brown Derby or something. I never understand why they don't name these episodes with the actual guest stars that are in them, because that's a huge draw. But anyway, this one's called Guess Binny Barnes and Mark Sandrich. The only problem is Binny Barnes and Mark Sandrich are nowhere to be seen in this episode or heard in this episode. Binny Barnes was one of the guest stars that was on, not guest stars, one of the stars that is in the movie Man About Town, which of course Jack and Phil have been talking about for the last number of weeks. Phil is in Man About Town, and so is Rochester and Jack, and the director is Mark Sandrich. Now, it says that they're both in this episode, but there's actors playing them. It's like saying Fred Allen guest stars on this episode when it's just a Fred Allen imitator. So Binny Barnes is going to be played by Blanche Stewart, who we've been talking about recently is this fabulous actress who does all sorts of voices and just does a great job for Jack in the early years from the early 1930s till the early 1940s. And I hope you're going to enjoy this episode. It's a fun episode. Anyway, without further ado, here is Jack Benny without Binny Barnes or Mark Sandrich. We'll see you next time.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens a program with That's What We Do Over Here. The Sons of the American Legion, Squadron Number 241 in Philadelphia, gave an officer's dinner a short time ago, and they sent us one of their menus. Well, here's what topped off the meal. Dessert a la Jack Benny. Yes, sir, you've guessed it. That was Jell-O. A swell combination of orange, lemon, and lime with that real extra-rich fruit flavor and covered with whipped cream. Judging from the reports, it made a great hit. And after all, that's not so very surprising because everybody enjoys those six delicious extra-rich flavors, as tempting and refreshing and satisfying as the real ripe fruit itself. And Jell-O's six glowing colors are so bright and gay, they give a festive air to any meal. So when you want a dessert the family is sure to welcome, look for those big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O, and Jell-O spells a treat. That's What We Do Over Here, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, Jack Benny and Phil Harris are busy working on a new Paramount picture, Man About Town, and will not be here today. So in the meantime, Kenny and I are going to carry on and try to entertain you with songs and jokes. And I'm sure that we'll all have a good time. Now, first, ladies and gentlemen.
I got a sweet little headache. I was out late last night. I've been out celebrating since Joe Louis won that fight.
Rochester.
I got a sweet little headache.
Rochester, cut that out. This dressing room is no place for a serenade. And furthermore, I wish you'd help me get dressed. I'm chilly standing here in my underwear.
You shouldn't be, it's long enough.
Rochester, the only reason I'm wearing this kind of underwear is to fill my legs out. So no comments.
What are you going to wear today, boss?
Well, the scene is a very formal dinner party in an English mansion. So give me my full dress suit.
The one you bought outright?
Yes, the new one. Get it for me. I want to try it on.
Okay, here's the pants. Hold steady, boss.
Careful now. Don't get them wrinkled. I won't have time to get them pressed.
There you are.
Yeah. Say, these trousers are beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're too long. Shall I roll them up, tuck them in, or snip them a little?
Leave them alone. I'll pull them up. Let me try on the coat and see how that is.
Here you are, boss.
Thanks. Say, the coat's a little big, too.
Mr. Benny? Mr. Benny, where are you?
I'm right in here, Rochester. Don't get excited. Pull the collar down and give me some air. It'll be all right. Doggone it, I need a back collar button. I forgot to bring some. I'll go next door and borrow one from Phil Harris. Gee, here comes Claudette Colbert. Hello, Claudette.
Who is it?
Jack Benny. Darn this suit. Well, here's Phil's dressing room. Look at that corny gold star on the door.
How do you do, sir?
Oh, pardon me. I've got the wrong room. I'm looking for Phil Harris.
These are his quarters. Whom shall I say is calling, please?
Jack Benny. I came to borrow a collar button.
I'm very sorry, sir. I can't disturb Mr. Harris. He's in a mood.
He's in a what?
In a mood. He's studying his part.
Well, I hate to break the spell, but tell him Prince Charming is here and he'd like to borrow a collar button.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but Mr. Harris is fearfully temperamental. And,
Elkins! Elkins, I say!
Elkins.
Stop that dreadful chattering. Who is it anyway?
It's a gentleman about a collar button, sir.
Well, buy a couple and send him away.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. It's me, Jack.
Roper or Benny?
Benny. Roper isn't up yet.
Oh, hello, Jack. I didn't see you in that suit.
No, you didn't. Well, if you want to know something, the suit was imported from England.
Oh, heaven forbid.
I wasn't talking to you. Hey, Phil, I need a collar button. Have you got one?
I think so. Elkins, have we a collar button we can lend Mr. Benny?
Well, can he be trusted, sir?
Don't worry, I'll leave a deposit. Say, Phil, this is a lovely dressing room. Well, gee whiz, have you got a shower bath?
I sure have.
Well, it's very ritzy, Phil. I don't know how you rate this.
Tea is served, Mr. Harris.
Thanks, Elkins, I'm famished.
Tea? My goodness, what are those, crumpets?
No, that's corn poo. Mr. Harris. I say Mr. Harris dotes on it.
That I can understand. Tea and corn pone. What a combination.
Mr. Benny, will you have your tea in a cup or in a saucer?
Just bring it. How I drink it is my own business. And where's my collar button?
A collar button, sir?
Oh, never mind. I'll use a thumbtack. I'm getting out of here. See you on the set, Lord Harris. How'd he ever get a dressing room like that? More politics around here. Well, here's my room. Oh, pardon me, I've got the wrong dressing room. I wish they'd put my name on my door. Oh, here it is.
Say, boss, I was just coming to get you. Miss Livingston's here.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. I thought I'd come down and watch you work. Have you got a big scene today?
Well, it's not so big, Mary, but it's very emotional and calls for every dramatic trick at my command. You see, it's pathos, yet mingled with comedy. And at a certain point, I have to make a transition that will convince the audience of my sincerity and complete domination.
Oh, brother.
Well, just wait and you'll see some real acting. Say, Mary, how do you like my new full dress suit? I'm kind of dolled up, ain't I?
Yeah, top hat, white tie, and tent.
Well, I'll grant you, the suit is a little roomy, but I like freedom in my clothes.
Well, you certainly got it. You could ring the Liberty Bell in there.
That's a good one, Miss Livingston.
You stay out of this, end man. Anyway, I got other things on my mind. I just came from Phil's dressing room, and I don't know why Paramount gives him a better one than mine. Why, there's no comparison.
Oh, it's your own fault, Jack. Why don't you fight for things once in a while? This room is terrible.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to invite my friends here.
Well, that's too bad. I'm just worried sick about that.
Why, there isn't a chair in the room with over three legs. And look at that big hole in the floor.
That hole? Well, I'm really to blame for that.
We thought there was oil under here.
All right, Rochester, just for telling, I'm going to kick you right out of the syndicate. But you're right, Mary. I'm going to do something about this. Rochester, get Mr. Hornblow on the phone.
Okay, boss. Give me a nickel.
Here. And that's another thing. Everybody else has a free telephone. This thing has gone just about far enough.
Oh, you're always talking, but you never do anything.
I don't, eh? I'll find out in a minute just how I stand around here.
I can tell you now and save you a nickel.
Is that so?
Here you are, boss.
Give me that phone. Hello, Mr. Hornblow. This is Jack Benny. Yes, it's me again. Now, look, Mr. Hornblow, I've been at Paramount for a long time, and I think I ought to have a new dressing room. I know, but how come Phil Harris has a shower bath, and I have to wash in the fire bucket? Why, twice this week, the brigade snatched it right from under me. I know, but Phil Harris...
Here we go again, folks.
Quiet. What? But look, Mr. Hornblow, I don't want to stay in this dressing room. I haven't got anything to sit on. Oh, that's very funny. Now, look, Mr. Hornblow, here's what I want. I want new chairs, a shower bath, Venetian blinds, a floor lamp.
Roller skates.
Roller skates. Mary, I'm not talking to Santa Claus. What's that? Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Hornblow. I'll appreciate that. Goodbye. Well, that's more like it.
Gee, Jack, are you going to get all that stuff?
Only the roller skates, but it's a beginning. Hey, Rochester, tune in the radio. I want to see what they're doing on our program.
I can't. The dial's all rusty.
Well, use the pliers like I do. He never knows what to do.
I got it.
And here's another one, ladies and gentlemen. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating a dish of Jell-O. He stuck in his spoon and started to croon, J-E-L-L-O.
Well, that's very cute.
So you see, folks, you too can be happy with this tempting dessert. It comes in six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
Wilson is having a Roman holiday there.
And now, folks, Kenny Baker, our popular young tenor, will sing, what's it going to be, Kenny?
I'm going to sing a number called Strange Enchantment from Paramount's new picture, Man About Town, starring Phil Harris.
What?
You heard me.
Wait till I get my hands on him.
Enchantment fills the moonrise. There's a breeze like sandalwood and wine. Strange enchantment lies in your eyes, saying, please, oh please, tonight be mine. When the moon has gone in the blue dawn, and we go wandering apart, darling, I'll be dreaming of this moment with a strange enchantment in my heart. How can I but remember this delight? Wherever I go, whatever I do, the magic of this oriental night, and you. Strange enchantment fills the moonrise. There's a breeze like sandalwood and wine. Strange enchantment lies in your eyes, saying, please, oh please, tonight be mine. When the moon has gone in the blue dawn, and we go wandering.
That was Strange Enchantment, sung by Kenny Baker. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we will have some more of my original nursery rhymes. Jack and Phil went up the hill to get a dish of Jell-O. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Harris laughed like anything.
Turn off the radio, Mary.
Okay.
Thinks he's cute. And I'm plenty burned up about Kenny Baker. Imagine him saying Man About Town, starring Phil Harris.
Phil must have put him up to that.
Yeah. You know, Mary, it's disgusting the way Phil tries to steal every scene from the picture. He's always doing something to draw attention away from me.
Well, you don't have to worry today with that suit you've got on.
Yes, if I can remember to keep my head out. Starring Phil Harris. I'm starring in that picture with Dorothy L'Amour. And another thing, if Phil doesn't stop telling Dorothy that I've got asthma, I'm going to have him thrown right off this lot.
No kidding. Did he tell Dorothy you've got asthma?
Yes. Now, every time I do a passionate love scene with her, she feels sorry for me. I'll get even with that guy.
Hey, boss, here's your makeup man.
My makeup man? Oh, yes. Hello, Twinkle.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Are we ready for our daily tussle with Father Time?
I suppose so.
Then tuck this towel around your neck and let's get going.
Okay, and Twink, don't put so much makeup on my chin. Yesterday you buried my dimple.
I did?
Yes, and everybody was asking for it. So be careful.
Say, Jack, don't you think you ought to darken your hair a little bit at the temples?
Mary, I'm not ashamed of the color of my hair. I'm prematurely gray.
You've been saying that for 35 years.
Well, I was frightened when I was a baby. Oh, Twinkle, I think you ought to pluck my eyebrows a little. They've been growing like mad lately.
Okay.
Say, boss.
What is it, Rochester?
Are you in the mood to reopen our monetary discussion?
Rochester, if you're referring to that $10 I bet you on the Lewis Roper fight, I do not owe it to you.
Well, Lewis knocked Roper out, didn't he?
Not entirely. Roper went down, but he started to get up.
Man, can't you tell the difference between getting up and bouncing?
You can talk all you want, Rochester, but you're not getting the $10.
Oh, why don't you pay him, Mr. Benny?
You stay out of this. Who do you think you are, Chamberlain? Just keep making me up. That's all you're supposed to do.
I never saw anybody like you, Jack. You're always welching on bets.
I am not. Anyway, Rochester will get his $10. I'm going to buy him that new vacuum cleaner he wants.
Who wants?
You wants, and keep still. More arguments about money around here. Ouch! Twinkle, watch those tweezers. You're awfully nervous today, aren't you?
Well, you'd be nervous, too, if your wife had twins last night.
Oh, well, well, that's marvelous. Congratulations.
Oh, it was nothing.
Well, that is news.
Hey, Jack.
What?
Look in the mirror and get a load of your face.
What's the matter with it? Oh, well, I'll be darned. Twinkle, what did you do before you became a makeup man?
I used to decorate chinaware.
Well, take those rosebuds off my cheeks. I'm not a teacup. Why don't you concentrate on what you're doing, Twinkle? See, my face is a mess. What are you laughing at?
Twinkle stinkles.
That's what I say.
Hiya, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Kenny.
Oh, it's you, Kenny. Why aren't you at NBC with Don?
Oh, I got tired of his old nursery rhymes, so I thought I'd come and watch you shoot a scene. Is it all right?
Sure, Kenny, but how'd you get through the gate?
I told him I was your business manager.
Oh, fine. So now you're my business manager.
Mr. Baker, can I have a word with you?
Rochester, forget about that $10. My goodness.
Say, Jack, are you going to shoot a big scene today?
Well, it's not so big, Kenny, but it's very emotional and calls for every dramatic trick at my command. You see, it's pathos yet mingled with comedy. And at a certain point, I have to make a transition that will convince the audience of my sincerity and complete domination. Yes, sir.
See, this is a crummy dressing room.
Kenny asked me a question, so I answered it. Incidentally, I heard that announcement you made of your song.
What about it?
You know what? I'm the star of the picture, not Phil Harris.
Well, he told me you were playing the part of a janitor.
Oh, he did, eh? Well, it so happens that I'm a lover in this picture, and I'm talking to Dorothy L'Amour all the time.
Bet you're leaning on a broom.
Broom nothing. I'm carrying a cane, a beautiful ebony cane with a silver handle on one end.
And a nail on the other.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. A janitor, eh? A janitor. Wait till I see Harris on the set. I'll give him a piece of my mind.
We're already beyond the set, Mr. Benny.
Okay, come on, kids. They're waiting for me, all ready to shoot the scene. I'm going to rush ahead. Rochester, you bring my cane.
Okay.
Don't stick yourself.
See you on the set, kids.
Shall I bring the dustpan?
That belongs here. I'm not a janitor. So long. Gee, I hope I'm not late.
Jack, there's Phil.
Oh, yes. Hey, pretty boy, I want to see you a minute.
What's on your mind, Droopy?
Listen, Phil, did you tell Kenny that I was playing the part of a janitor in this picture?
Yeah, but I just did that for a rib.
That's all I want to know. You and I are through, Phil. I don't want to talk to you again.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. It was just a gag. Who'd ever believe you were playing the part of a janitor?
Plenty of people. From now on, we're no longer friends. Come on, Mary. I want to talk to Mr. Sandridge, the director. Where's Kenny?
Over there on Dorothy L'Amour's lap.
Oh, yes. And there's Edward Arnold. And look, there's Benny Barnes, too. She's beautiful, isn't she?
Oh, you think every blonde is beautiful.
I do not.
Name one.
Nelson Eddy. So there. The blonde, if I ever saw one. Anyway, I think Benny Barnes is simply gorgeous. Hello, Benny.
Hello, Benny.
Gee, very witty, too. Hey, Rochester! Rochester!
Quiet! Quiet on the set!
That assistant director's always showing off. You can't even say boo around here.
Boo.
Hey, you quiet!
See? What a fresh guy.
Did you call me, boss?
Yes, where were you?
I was over in the corner acclimating Mr. Harris's butler. I'm teaching him Central Avenue ping pong.
Rochester, I told you not to bring those dice to this studio. Now throw them out.
Not unless somebody fades me.
Don't be so stubborn.
Hey, Jack, look at Kenny.
Where?
Now he's on Benny Barnes' lap.
Hey, that kid sure gets around. Kenny, come here.
Okay. Hey, you quiet on the set.
Darn that guy. Look, Mary, here comes Mark Sandridge, the director.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Mr. Sandridge. Say, I'd like you to meet Mary Livingston.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Livingston? I'm glad to see you.
Then why don't you smile?
Mary. And Mr. Sandridge, this is Kenny Baker.
Hello.
Well, young man, are you having a good time here on the set?
Am I? I'm going to my third lap now.
You'll stay right here with us.
Well, Jack, we're about ready to rehearse the scene in Lady Trumley's drawing room.
Oh, then Miss Barnes and Miss L'Amour aren't working today, huh?
No, they just came for the laughs.
Oh.
And incidentally, Jack, when you shoot the scene today, don't look right into the camera. You're not posing for a tintype.
Okay, I'll be careful.
Well, let's get started. Lady Trumley, Theodore, and Milford.
Mary, Phil is Theodore, and I'm Milford. I got a better name than he did.
All right, let's have one rehearsal, and then we'll shoot it.
Why rehearse? I know my part.
Quiet! Quiet on the set!
Oh, shut up. That guy drives me nuts. Quiet, quiet.
Now, Lady Trumley, you sit here on the divan.
Yes, sir.
And Theodore, you sit beside her.
Okay, pal.
Pal. You hear that, Mary?
And Milford, you sit over there on the ashtray.
Fine, I look like a Rube Goldberg cartoon. Great place to sit.
All right, let's start the scene. Everybody ready?
I'm ready, let's go.
Take it, Phil.
You have a lovely place here, Lady Trumley.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, Theodore. You know, Reggie used to visit here quite often.
Ah, good old Reggie. I say, is he still at Monte Carlo?
No, he's been at Biarritz since he and Evelyn split up.
Split up? My word. But then Reggie always was a bounder.
No, I think it was Evelyn's fault. She's a terribly stuffy person.
Nonsense, my dear. Reggie's a cad, and you know it.
Oh, how could you say that? Poor Reggie has been terribly abused. Don't you think so, Milford?
You said it, sister.
Stop it! Stop it!
Why, what's the matter?
Jack, you don't call a titled English lady sister. You just have three words. You said it.
Well, gee, Mr. Sanders, I was just trying to make it more emphatic, that's all.
Well, don't be adding to your part. Film doesn't grow on bushes, you know.
Oh, all right.
Now let's take it once more. And Theodore, I think it'd be a little better if you defend Reggie instead of Lady Trumley. It's more believable that way.
Okay, Mark. Say, why can't I defend Reggie?
Quiet, quiet on the set!
Oh, shut! Say a word here, anyways. Oh, get out of here, Mary. Stop laughing.
Now let's run through it once more. Remember the change? Okay, let's go.
You have a lovely place here, Lady Trumley.
I'm glad you like it, Theodore. You know, Reggie used to visit here quite often.
Jack!
My throat was dry, for goodness sake!
Good old Reggie. I say, is he still at Monte Carlo?
Oh, no. He's been at Biarritz since he and Evelyn split up.
Split up? My word! Jeepers creepers.
Jack, what's the matter with you?
Well, I want to say something. I'm an actor, not a sphinx.
Now, you've got enough to do, so be satisfied. Continue, Lady Trumley.
I don't blame Evelyn. Reggie always was a bounder.
No, I think it was Evelyn's fault. She's a terribly stuffy person.
Nonsense, my dear. Reggie's a cad, and you know it.
Oh, how can you say that? Poor Reggie's been a terribly abused boy. Don't you think so, Milford?
Poof.
Don't you think so, Milford?
Yeah.
For heaven's sake, Jack, why don't you answer, Phil?
We're not speaking, that's why.
Jack, we're trying to make a picture. I can't be annoyed with your personal affairs.
Well, I can't be annoyed with answering Phil Harris. Whose picture is this, anyway?
Quiet, quiet on the set.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to punch you right in the nose.
You would, you brute.
Fine cooperation I'm getting on this picture. Come on, Mary, I'm going home.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Don't get excited.
Excited? Now, look, Mr. Sanders. I've been studying this scene for days. I know it isn't a big part, but it's very emotional. It calls for every dramatic trick I know. You see, it's pathos, yet mingled with comedy. And a certain point, I must make a transition that will convince the audience of my sincerity and complete domination. Now, if you think you can get somebody else to do that, go ahead and get Barrymore. I'm leaving. Rochester, give me my top hat and cane.
Sorry, boss. The dice were against me.
Oh, that's all I need.
You said it.
That's my line. Come on, let's get out of here.
Quiet, quiet on the set.
Oh, nuts.
I bet that all of you women have said to yourselves, I don't believe there is anything new to have for dessert. Well, ladies, I'm glad to say that you're wrong. And here's the proof. It's the new Jell-O butterscotch pudding, rich with true butterscotch flavor, the kind you've loved since you were a youngster. It's creamy and mellow, and it has a delicate golden taffy color that really makes you hungry just to look at it. Jell-O butterscotch pudding has that old-fashioned homemade goodness. A marvelous flavor and texture. Why, it all but melts right in your mouth. Then try Jell-O chocolate pudding, rich and smooth and real chocolatey, the kind your family loves. And a Jell-O vanilla pudding, delicate and creamy, so tempting to look at that you know that you have a real treat. All three new Jell-O puddings are made with fine, wholesome ingredients. They're quick and easy to prepare. You'll find the simple directions on every package. Why don't you buy three packages at a time? Ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O butterscotch, chocolate, and vanilla pudding. The real homemade kind.
last number of the 30th program in the new Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night. But I'd like to announce, folks, that daylight saving time goes into effect over some of these stations next week. So if your community is affected, don't forget the change.
Say, Jack, what's daylight saving time?
Well, you see, Mary...
I know. It's pathos yet mingled with comedy and calls for every dramatic trick at your command.
That's not it at all. Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L.
Next week, daylight saving time goes into effect in many places. With this result, there will be a change in time for this program on some of these same stations. Consult your local newspaper for the time on your station. Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions. The part of Mark Sandrich was played tonight by Russell Higgs.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.